The Connecticut DOT and UConn are conducting a research project to see how pedestrians and drivers interact with each other at intersections with traffic signals. The DOT installed concurrent green signals to crosswalks so drivers and walkers can go the same direction without forcing anybody to stop. UConn engineering professor John Ivan says concurrent green signals seem to be more effective than so-called exclusive signals.
As drivers will see pedestrians push the button, then they don't wait, and then we have the walk signal come up and nobody uses it. And meanwhile, the drivers are all sitting there waiting 10, 15 seconds or more for this phase when nothing is happening in the intersection.
The results of the study will be shared in January. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Vice President Kamala Harris visited Connecticut today. Suffolk police conducted an active shooter drill on the Bridgeport-Port Jefferson ferry, and Governor Hochul is defending her decision to purchase COVID testing kits from a donor of hers. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Vice President Kamala Harris visited Central Connecticut State University in New Britain, Connecticut today for a roundtable discussion on women's reproductive rights. WSHU's Mike Lyle has more.
Harris's visit to the Nutmeg State came 100 days after the Supreme Court overturned the landmark Roe v. Wade case that made access to an abortion a federal right in the United States. In her opening remarks, Harris addressed the students in attendance. She says they need to use their voices and remain vigilant in fighting for a woman's right to make their own choices.
It is now incumbent on us as the leaders of this moment to pick up that movement and to do what is necessary to reaffirm, regain, and fight for those rights.
The vice president was also in town to support Congresswoman Johanna Hayes for re-election. Hayes is being challenged by GOP candidate George Logan in the state's 5th congressional district in the midterm elections this fall. Mike Lyle, WSHU News.
On Long Island, Suffolk County police officers conducted a large-scale active shooter drill at the Bridgeport-Port Jefferson ferry today. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports.
Members of the Coast Guard and ferry operators teamed up with about 100 Suffolk police officers for an active shooter exercise on the ferry and at the terminal in Port Jefferson. Police Commissioner Rodney Harrison says there's no credible threat against the ferry, but the force needs to be prepared to respond anywhere.
We could be the first responding, or another agency may be the first responding. So it's important that we work as a team. We know how to stop the threat. We know how to rescue people. Everybody understands what needs to be done if something does occur.
Harrison says this is the 7th active shooter drill the county has done this year. That includes exercises at schools, supermarkets, and hospitals. Last month, authorities charged a Connecticut man for making a bomb threat against the ferry terminal in Bridgeport. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
The Westport Museum for History and Culture will offer a new walking tour this month to focus on Saugatuck's hidden history. Saugatuck was a destination for transporting goods down their harbor from warehouses and the region's industrial past. It's now attracting modern-day visitors who are interested in the history of the Pawgasset tribe. Ramin Ganeshram is the museum's executive director.
This walking tour is a great example of the way we approach public history at this museum, which is that, you know, we make sure that it's completely inclusive. Everybody who was in the story is now back in the story, which is not the way that history has been traditionally presented in America or in areas like this.
The walking tour is funded by Connecticut Humanities and explores the rich history of the riverfront Westport neighborhood. It'll be offered the next 2 weekends on October 16th and 22nd. New York Republicans are attacking Governor Hochul over her controversial purchase of COVID-19 testing kits from a campaign donor. She says she'd do it all over again. That story after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Alex Jones refused to testify in his defamation trial today. Norm Pattis, Jones's lawyer, says the InfoWars host is boycotting the trial, which is taking place in a Waterbury Superior Court. Jones has already been found liable by default. This trial is to assess damages. Testimony in the trial wrapped up today, and jury deliberation is expected to begin tomorrow. New York State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort is pushing a plan to combat rising energy costs. He visited Long Island yesterday to help local Republican candidates use home heating costs as a campaign issue for the November midterms. Ort claims Long Islanders pay 51% more for electricity than the national average. That's because half of Suffolk County relies on oil heating, which costs $6 a gallon right now. The Republican plan calls for a tax credit for homeowners' energy bills, as well as a repeal of hidden energy taxes and surcharges. Connecticut farmers can now apply for financial assistance to offset the cost of production losses from New England's continued drought conditions. Governor Lamont announced the new initiative yesterday, saying crop yields were significantly impacted by water concerns this summer. Funding will come from the Farm Service Agency. An expanded natural disaster declaration in the state allows farmers from all 8 counties to apply. In New York, Governor Hochul is defending a decision to buy more than $500 million worth of COVID-19 rapid tests from a campaign donor. Her Republican opponents have seized on the issue, and one government reform group says it merits an investigation. Karen DeWitt has more.
The controversy centers around a $637 million purchase of in-home COVID tests by Hochul's administration last December and January. The state health department bought the tests, 50 million of them, which were manufactured by Access Bio, a New Jersey-based company. But they did not buy the tests directly from the company. Instead, they used an intermediary to procure the tests, the company Digital Gadgets. The owner of Digital Gadgets, Charles Tabelli, and his family members are donors to Hochul's election campaign. They contributed over $300,000. The bulk of those contributions came after the purchase orders for the tests had been signed. The transactions were first reported by the Albany Times-Union. The paper also found that the state of California also bought COVID tests from Access Bio, but they did not use a middleman. That state paid only around half as much money for the same amount of tests, or $300 million less. Hochul says she didn't know that the owners of Digital Gadgets had contributed to her campaign. She says she tries to keep campaigning and governing separate. But she defended the price paid for the tests. She says it was at a time when the Omicron variant was spreading, and she was concerned about having enough tests to keep the schools open.
My directive to my team was the only way we're going to get kids back in schools is to amass as many test kits from wherever you need to get them. Just go do it. That was my only involvement.
The governor says no contribution has had an effect on her policy decisions, and she says she follows all the rules.
The number of red flags going up here is phenomenal.
John Caney with the government reform group Reinvent Albany says there are a number of troublesome questions surrounding the deal. He says the state had access to lower price tests through other companies, but chose to buy the bulk of them from Digital Gadgets. The company is not an established medical supplier and had no history selling the tests. Another warning sign, Caney says, is that since Hochul was operating under emergency powers granted to her during the pandemic, she did not need to request bids for the contract, as is normally required under New York State law. The emergency order also stripped away the state controller's powers to review the purchase orders.
The sad, sad reality about this is that this looks like one of the biggest pay-to-play scandals in New York State history, and the truth has got to be gotten to here.
Caney's group is calling for a federal civil and criminal investigation of the deal. Federal pandemic-related subsidies were used for the purchases. And Hochul's opponent in the November elections, Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin, a Republican, is highlighting the issue in a campaign ad.
Hochul rigged a lucrative COVID testing contract for a large donor at twice the price.
Zeldin, at a recent campaign appearance in Rochester, called it blatant pay-to-play corruption.
No evidence at all of Kathy Hochul trying to negotiate a better price for New York taxpayers. No evidence of Kathy Hochul going to the company that actually manufactured the COVID tests to try to get a better deal directly from them. That's what California did, and they paid 45% less.
Despite the criticism, Hochul is not backing down. She continues to say that she didn't do anything wrong.
I would do that all over again. I need to get people protected. We achieved the result we had.
But the governor concedes there could be more safeguards in place, and she says she's aware of the importance of public perception. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org with our audio stream. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, everything you hear from this station is made possible with support from listeners like you. So as always, thank you. I'm Sabrina Garone. Talk to you tomorrow.